Thank you. We want to look at a few verses together from the book of Samuel, the second book of Samuel, chapter number 7. And I just want you to notice a little question here that David asked the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. Somebody as well said, if you can't find it, just keep turning the pages till you come to it. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 18. David, King David, he went in and sat before the Lord and he said, who am I, O Lord God? What a question. Who am I? If I asked you who you were tonight, you'd like to tell me your name and where you live, and you'd like to tell me a little bit about you and so on. Maybe if I asked your neighbor about you, they might tell me a little different story. But anyway, you'd give me some idea who you were. But you've never asked God who you were. David says, who am I, O Lord God? Now, similar little phrase in 1 Samuel chapter number 3. In 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Now this is David, the king, is a young boy named Samuel. And in chapter 3 of the first book of Samuel, in verse number 4, the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. Here am I. Verse 7 says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord, yet revealed to him. David said, who am I? Samuel said, here am I. Similar words. Let's look at another one in Genesis chapter 30. Now this is in connection with the birth. Genesis chapter number 30 and verse number 13. Number 30 and verse number 13. This is the birth of a boy named Asher. And Leah, his mother, said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. She called his name Asher. Happy am I. Now putting these together, David said, who am I? Samuel said, here am I. And another lady said, happy am I. Now, you've got to find out who you are before you come to the Lord. And once you come to the Lord, you can go away saying, happy am I. That's putting that all together very simply. You never find out who you are in the eyes of the Lord, you'll never be saved. Most people think, as the proverb says in Proverbs chapter 20, most men will proclaim their own goodness, but a man of faith, who can find it? You ask people if they're a Christian, only I'm a Christian, and the first thing they're going to tell you how good they are. I'm good, I'm kind, I like people, and I pay my bills, and I do this, and maybe I go to church, and this and that, and something else. They put forth their own goodness, and they think God is going to accept them on the basis of their own goodness. When David got face to the face with the Lord, he said, who am I, O Lord? It's best to find out who you are in the eyes of God. And it's necessary to find out who you are in the eyes of God before you can be saved. He never came to call people that were righteous or thought they were righteous, it says, but sinners who repented. He never came into the world to save religious people. He came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. So you've just got to find out what you look like in the sight of God. And you'll soon discover what you look like, and you'll soon see that I need a Savior, and that Savior my brother is talking about, I need to acquaint myself with that Savior, or I'll never get into heaven. Who am I? Sometimes people have an accident and they get a little whack on the head or something and forget who they are. I think they call that amnesia, loss of memory. And I remember reading somebody up west, they were down in the States, they found them down in the States, they never had a clue who they were, they just got on the head or something. But there's a lot of people around Pablico and Argyle, all around the world, they don't know who they are, they know where they live, they know what their name is, but they don't know who they are in the sight of God, and that's why they don't feel any sense of being, having, needing to be saved. You got to find out you're lost before you can be saved. That's the most important thing when it comes to being saved. If you never find out you're lost, if you never find out if you died tonight, you'd end up in hell, you'll never have any desire to be saved. You hope you'll be saved, but you'll have no real desire. You've got to get to the place of knowing who you are in the sight of God, and the best person to ask is God Himself. David said, "Who am I, O Lord God?" You ask somebody else who you are, they might say, "Oh, you're a pretty good fellow, you're a pretty good woman. You'll make it all right." Reminds me of a woman was in the hospital dying, and she wasn't a Christian, but she wanted to be a Christian, and different people would come in and see her, and she had said, they'd say, "Oh, you don't have to worry about it. You've been a good living woman. You'll make it all right." And somebody else would tell her this, but she wasn't satisfied with that. At last, one woman came up, and she wanted to know, "What's your opinion of getting to heaven?" The lady said, "I don't have any opinion about getting to heaven, but I'll show you from the Word of God how to get into heaven." And she went on to show her that all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And you can't get in there in your goodness. Went on to show her that Christ died for those sins, and as a sinner, if she would trust Christ as her Savior, she'd be saved. It's as simple as that. But you've got to find out who you are. So just quickly tonight, I'm going to show you four men in the Word of God that answers that question. Who am I? And they're very, very important men in the Bible. One of them is Peter. And you're going to find out what he says about the answer to that question in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 8. Peter was a very prominent man in the Bible. He wasn't the Pope or anything like that. He was a fisherman that became one of the 12 and a preacher in the New Testament. And let's see who Peter says, "I am in the sight of God." Now he comes face to face with the Lord Jesus, who is God. And in chapter 5 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse number 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." That's true of every one of us. Before God, in unsaved, we are a sinful person. Now, I want you to notice, it didn't say, "I've sinned." That's not what the word sinful means. It's talking about his whole character. My whole character is sin. I'm just a sinful man. I'm just an unrighteous, sinful man in the sight of a holy God. Unclean, unfit for God, unacceptable to God the way I am. But that same sinner that comes to God through Christ can be acceptable. But that same sinner going to God apart from Christ is not acceptable to God. Because God does not accept sinners apart from the wages of those sins being dealt with. And they were only dealt with at the cross. I am a sinful man. Now that's Peter's confession of what he is. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 6, it says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8 says, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The book of Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are filthy rags in the sight of God. Imagine standing before God, all of our goodness, all of our rights and things that we think we do, the sin against them, God says, just a bunch of filthy rags. Unacceptable, unclean, unfit, unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, In Romans chapter 3, verse 12, it speaks there about being unprofitable. That word is what we'd use for spoiled fruit. Something that's worthless. That's what we're like in the state of God. Read a little article I read away the other night. A man of old said this. He said, God made man just a little bit lower than the angels, and sin has made that man just a little bit higher than devils. Sin has brought him down, so he's just a little bit higher than the devil. What God made, man fell from what God made, and he fell right down to the bottom. And Peter puts it well. The answer to the question, who am I, O Lord? I am a sinful man. But the good news is that God accepts sinners. That's what you've got to be saved. He never comes to save anybody else but sinners. We're all sinners. But you've got to realize that you're a sinner before he's going to accept you and save you from your sins. Let's look at another man, Job, the book of Job, chapter 40. Another very prominent man of the Bible. Job, that man that suffered so much affliction. In Job chapter 40. Now, Job could say to his friends, he could say of his friends, I am clean, I am without transgression, I am innocent, in the book of Job. But when he comes face to face with the Lord, in Job chapter 40, and verse number 4, listen to what he says. He's face to face with the Lord now, like Peter was. He said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I'll lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Job says, I'm vile. Peter says, I'm sinful. And Job says, I'm vile. And that word vile means I'm unacceptable. I'm of no account. I'm of no use to you. I'm not acceptable to you. So you've got to realize, as a sinful person, in the sight of God, you are not acceptable to God that way. You're vile in the sight of God. Just not acceptable in the sight of God. Unprofitable. Of no value for what God made you for. God made us to enjoy Him and to obey Him and to live pleasing to Him, and that would please the man. The minute Adam disobeyed God, he was driven out of the garden, and the curse was put upon him, upon the earth, and upon everything, and the whole problem of all the world comes from Adam's disobedience to God. So you got to see ourselves as a fallen person. We're sinful in the sight of God. And Job says, we're of no value to God. We're of no account to God. We're just unprofitable, worthless to God the way we are. That's why you got to see that in order to see your need of being saved and see the Savior that can save you. Let's look at another man, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah. See what he says about that question. Now each one of these men get in the presence of God. Peter was in the presence of Jesus. And he said, who am I? I'm a sinful man. Job was in the presence of the Lord. He could defend himself when it came to his friends. He could say, I'm clean, I'm without transgression. But when he got face to face with God, he realized who he was in the sight of God. I'm vile. I'm vile. Isaiah. Chapter 6, Isaiah got in the presence of the Lord. And he saw a vision, as it were, of the Lord, high and lifted up in the temple. And this is what he said in verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Job, Peter says, who am I? Peter says, I'm a sinful man. Job says, I'm vile, I'm of no use to you, God. I'm of no account. Isaiah says, I am undone. I'm dumb. I'm failed. I've perished. We would say, I've had it. I've had it. Got into a place of absolutely helpless. Can't do anything. I'm without strength. I'm without hope. That's where the sinner should get in order to be saved. As long as you think you're good enough to make it to heaven, you're never going to be saved. You're thoroughly deceived. And millions of people are deceived. And thinking that they're going to be good enough to get to heaven. You're not going to get saved that way. When you come face to face with God and you ask that question to God, Lord, who am I, O Lord God? He's going to tell you exactly what Peter said. He's going to tell you you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's going to tell you the same as Job says, you're of no profit to me the way you are. And you're going to have to say like Isaiah said, I'm perishing. I've had it. I'm undone. The word undone means I'm dumb, silent, failed, I'm perishing, I've had it. I'm the end of my rope. That's what you have to get in order to be saved. You're never going to the doctor until you're convinced that you're sick. You're never going to call in a plumber until you're sure the plumbing's not working. As long as the switches on the wall work, you're never going to call the electrician to get it fixed. If your car breaks down, it never breaks down, you're not going to take it down to Jesus to get it fixed until it breaks down. And you never come into Christ until you realize I'm a helpless, lost, guilty, worthless sinner in the eyes of God. But God saw something. He loved me and He wanted me back to Him. And He sent His Son down into the world to die for me. I'm going to take my place as a sinner because Jesus only died on the cross for sinners. You can never take your place as a sinner before God. You can never acquaint yourself with Him and be at peace. Well, let's look at the last man, David himself, Psalm 88. See what David says about that. The 88th Psalm. David says in Psalm 88 and verse number 4. He says, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. And that word pit is a place down in the heart of the earth called Sheol in the Old Testament, or literally it's a place of torment. David says, who are you, David? David, this is what David answers. I am. Job said, I am. Peter said, I am. Isaiah said, I am. David asked the Lord, who am I? Those men, each one of them, told us what they were in the sight of God. And we're just the same. We're no different than them. David said, I'm counted, I'm numbered with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. I'm dying. And I'm on a road that's going to lead down into a pit. Not up to heaven, but down into a pit. Down to the place called hell. There are only two destinies in the Bible. But Jesus gave it, said there was a straight gate, a narrow gate that led to life, and there was a broad gate, a wide road that led to destruction. And he says, few people find that narrow way that leads to life. And the masses are going down a broad road to a gate to destruction. That's people that don't realize their sinners. And I'm convinced that people realize what they were like in the sight of God, they would soon come to the Lord. Who am I, O Lord? I am a sinful man. I am vile. I am undone. I've had it. And I'm numbered with those that are going down into the pit, down into the caverns of hell. That's what the Bible says. That's the bad news. But the good news is that Christ came into the world to save those type of people. Come into the world to save sinners. You don't have to try to be saved. You trust. You don't try. You trust. You just give up trying altogether and you trust. Now, I read about a little fellow named Samuel. And Samuel said, here am I. And that's what you got to say. Find out who you are. And the good news is that Christ, you can come to Christ just the way you are. Just the way those four men said they were, that's the way we are, a sinner. You can come just the way you are, and he will save you. And little Samuel didn't yet know the Lord, didn't know the word of the Lord, but he eventually heard that voice two or three times, and had finally answered it, and he said, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Sinful, unclean, corrupt, undeserving. Here am I, just a sinner. That's what he wants you to do. Those are the kind of people he come to die for. Those are the kind of people he wants to save. And he can't save you until you find out who you are. And it's no good to come to the Lord until you find out who you are. You may have been brought up in a good home. You may have a godly mother. You may have had a Christian mother. I don't know. But I do know this, that everybody that gets ever gets into heaven has got to come through the sinner's door. You've got to come through the sinner's door. You've got to get down before God, as it were, as a lost sinner, unclean, unfit, unworthy, and say, here am I. As a songwriter, the lady, the girl that wrote the song, Charlotte Elliott, that penned those words, just as I am without one plea, of that blood was shed for me. That's how she came to the Lord. And you come just as you are. You don't try to get good, so the Lord will accept you. You just come the way you are. You come into the world to save sinners, and you come the way they are. Now, what will happen when you come to the Lord as a sinner, and you come just as you are? You don't try to reform and make yourself acceptable to the Lord. If you're a sinner, you are acceptable to Christ. He receives sinners. You know, the Pharisees always followed the Lord around and tried to find fault with him. And in Luke chapter 15, he went in and he ate with some publicans and sinners and harlots, and he ate with them. And they looked at him and they said, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. They couldn't have said anything truer. He does receive sinners. That's what he came for. And most people think, well, I can't be a Christian, I've got to be rude. In order to be a Christian, you can't become a Christian that way. You just got to realize I'm bad. And I'm helpless. And I'm hopeless. And you just come the way you are. Here and say, here am I. Or just as I am. And when you do that, you're going to experience what Leah experienced back in Genesis 30. There was a birth that took place. A boy was born. And she said, happy am I. Now when you come to the Lord as a sinner and say, Lord, here I am, unclean, unfit, undeserving. Here I am, but I'm going to trust in what you've done for me on the cross. You're going to go away saying, happy am I, because there's a birth going to take place. That's how you become born again. When you get saved, what God does, the first thing he does is blots out all those sins, takes them right away altogether, removes them completely as if they were never there, and he gives you the gift of eternal life. And you can't have life without a birth. That's called being born again. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's when you realize who you are and say, Lord, here am I. That's the sinner. Here I am. And then you're going to go away and you're going to say, happy am I. You know, I struggled with this matter for about a year, a long time ago. And about a year, trying to make myself good enough that I thought felt God would accept me. That's the wrong way. It didn't work. It's only when I come to realize that I was a sinner, helpless and hopeless and lost, and I put my trust in Christ as my Savior, I said, Lord, here I am. And I can truly say, for 53, almost 54 years, I can say, happy am I, because I trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never seen anybody yet that really trusted in Christ as their Savior that ever regretted it. Never regret it. Because You're happy. It doesn't mean you don't have any problems or troubles or temptations, but it means you live above them. They don't have you. Most people don't have problems. The problems have them. And that's wrong. But when you have Christ, you have the problems. You're on top of them. You're not underneath them. But you'll never, never get saved until you realize who you are in the sight of the Lord. And then say, Lord, here I am, just as you say I am. And you trust Christ as your Savior. You can go away saying, happy am I. I trust tonight, if you're not saved, that you'll realize that and take their place before the cross of Calvary as a poor lost sinner. Put your trust in Him with all your heart and know happiness, peace, that comes through believing and trusting Him. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for the good news of the gospel. Thank Thee that Christ saves sinners. Thank Thee that He came into the world for that very purpose, to bear away our sin and our guilt on the cross. We ever thank Thee for Him. We ever pray for any in our little company that might not know Him as their personal Savior. We ask Thee, Father, that they might see their need of coming just as they are, putting their trust in the Savior and being saved. So we ask Thy blessing upon them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.